Breed, you want to talk about Berríos or Benning to start?
You know what? Corporate synergy, eh? That's definitely going on today. I like Berríos. That's a good signing, man. If you have a good player, you sign him. I like that guy.
Yeah, you and me both. And we'll see what else they do with the starting pitching. And fingers crossed they can come to an arrangement and bring back the Cy Young Award winner. One more quick Blue Jays thought. Your thoughts on that one? Like, we all thought that he'd have a shot at it and a really good shot at it. I didn't know it was going to be as overwhelming a vote as it turned out to be. I thought Garrett Cole.
I'm with you on that. I was surprised that I'm happy for Robbie Ray. I was surprised at the lopsidedness of the voting. I thought it would be closer, but you know, I'm not watching. I watch baseball as a fan. I don't really look too deeply into the numbers. I really wonder if the head-to-head, like if the way Cole finished the season and the Jays, they pounded him a couple of times. Yeah. So that probably really helped for him too. The one I'm watching though is tonight. I wagered on Bryce Harper winning the National League MVP during the season. So I want to see if that one cashes in tonight.
What point did you put down your hard-earned dough?
Well, I wouldn't say it was hard-earned, but I put down the dough in August. I saw the odds and I put down, so he's a finalist and we'll see what happens. So, I mean, Soto had a massive year. It's just funny how all three guys, none of them made the playoffs, eh? So
I know, right?
I'm really curious to see which way this is going to go.
Okay. Speaking of not making the playoffs, looks to be trending very much that way, even though it's early in the season for the Vancouver Canucks. Not to dwell on this too much more on the Vancouver situation with Thomas Drantz at the bottom of the hour, but they lose to Colorado yesterday, and particularly frustrating in this one. Like, we all know the penalty kill story, and that reared its head yesterday. But the frustrating thing here is, you know, after that first 10 minutes where Colorado poured it on Vancouver and they only managed one shot, that Vancouver played really well for a period and a half. Start off the third period with a 2-1 lead, and then the penalties pile up, and then in a very un-Quinn Hughes-esque move, he chases down Samuel Girard after a hit, cross-checks him, breaks his stick. That leads to another power play for Colorado, and the Avalanche are off to the races. Essentially, this is a long-winded way for each of me saying the frustration is not just being felt by the fans or every cutaway to Travis Green, but it's being felt by the players as well.
Well, look, if you're any kind of competitor, Jeff, losing sucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can – you know, like a lot of people talk about U.S. Thanksgiving next week as kind of the defining point for the season. You know me, I think it's earlier than that. I think it's November 1st, just because the loser point makes it so difficult to catch up in this league. And, you know, I'm looking at the Islanders in the East, and you could sense the concern on Barry Trotz's face after they lost the other night. And you're looking at the Canucks in the West, and like you said it, like that Hughes penalty, first of all, there's no question that that guy is competing as hard as he wants, as hard as he can. There's no question that Quinn Hughes cares a lot. Like it's that kind of moment in a season where you look at it and you see the players. There's the star player who sees it slipping away. That's what that was last night. You're upset. You're upset about the hit. And the interesting thing is Girard got hurt too by a hit that Colorado felt wasn't clean. Yeah. And so you're upset, you're frustrated, you're losing, you see it slipping away, and you make that one decision, and then I have no doubt he sat there in the penalty box and he's like, this is going to be the longest 2 minutes of my life. I know how bad this was. And, you know, I just think that play was everything you need to know. Like, to be honest, last night, Jeff, the way that game started, I thought the Canucks were going to get blown out of the building. And I was like, this is really bad. And then, you know, they recovered. They did play hard. But look, like, I think everybody knows what's going on in Vancouver. We talked about this yesterday. They weren't expecting this. They thought they'd be better. And now, if this doesn't turn around quick, it's like you know something is going to happen. You're just waiting to see what that thing is going to be. And that's where kind of everybody is now if it doesn't turn around fast.
the difficult and at times awkward part about this is I think we all sort of understand where this thing is heading, and it's being done in slow motion right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the, it's like, you know, what it
it's like in a movie. No.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. We all know where it's going, and it's taken really slow to get there. More on the Canucks situation with Thomas Trantz, co-host of the Canucks Hour and writer for The Athletic at the bottom of the hour. You mentioned the Islanders a couple of seconds ago, and that's another surprise team. They'll open up the new rink, the UBS, on Saturday against the Calgary Flames. And they're greeted with the news of Ryan Pulock, 4 to 6 weeks, mm-hmm. lower body injury. That released things. Robin Salo called up from mm-hmm. Bridgeport. I didn't expect to see the Islanders like this, in this position. How much do you chalk it up to? It's a 13-game road trip to open the season, even though it's not like they're technically on the road for 13 games. There's still plenty of time at home, just not in front of your fans in your home rink.
Yeah, I mean, look, is it a factor? Yeah, I'd say it's a factor. Is it the factor? No, I wouldn't say that. You know, the problem for me is, Jeff, is the Islanders don't look very Islander. You know, since Lamoriello and Trotz got there, it's mm-hmm. been about a whole is bigger than the sum of the parts, and we play a certain way, and that overcomes whatever problems we have to deal with, and it's not working. They don't look like themselves. You know, the defense has struggled more than I thought it was going to. There's no mm-hmm. question about that. You know, Barzal has struggled a little bit more than I thought he was going to, and so much of the offense goes through him. That's a problem. I just don't think they're what we expect them to be. For whatever reasons, they've sprung leaks. And, you know, just watching Trotz the other night, you know, you could see the concern. You know, you really could. And, like, to me, Trotz is a really good poker face, and you know, sometimes he can throw like a barb here or there, but generally I think that he's pretty calm, and he really tries to keep a firm hand on the ship, particularly when things aren't going really well. So when I see him the way he kind of was the other night, like whenever he exudes something isn't right, I look at that and I say, ooh, that's big, because he's normally very calm about these things, and it's not like he's exploding and throwing temper tantrums or anything like that, but he's sharper than he normally is. He looks more frustrated than he normally does.
We're just we'll reconnect there with Elliot, who just dropped off the line. Want to let you know, as we get back to Elliot and his thoughts on the Islanders right now, backing up to the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver Canucks PR on Twitter is saying that Jim Benning will join the media availability today at 11 o'clock Pacific, and will take questions from the media, that in the Norm Jewison media room. Elliot, sorry, you dropped out there.
Yeah, I have a phone call. I just say things like when Trotz is off like that, it really resonates with me.
We're just mentioning, as you dropped out there, Jim Benning will join the media availability today at 11 o'clock Pacific.
Mm.
That per Vancouver Canucks Twitter. So we will stand by to see how that goes.
Well, I think what that is I would bet is, you know, the players and Travis Green have had to answer for all this in the last couple of days. And I think there comes to a point where someone else has to come and bail them out and say, look, I'm going to answer for this too. So yeah. I'm betting that what Benning is saying is, you know, I mean, he probably doesn't want to do this, but what he's probably saying is, look, like, or someone has said is, someone else has to come take some of the, yeah, someone else has got to put on the vest and start taking the bullets. So that's kind of what happens.
Also, the Montreal Canadiens announcing a couple of moments ago, Cole Caufield has been recalled from Laval. That was a crazy game last night, Laval and the Toronto Marlies. Marlies go up 5-1, Laval ties it up, and then they end up winning the whole thing 6-5, and Cole Caufield scores a beauty in the process. Mm-hmm. Do you have a quick thought on Montreal right now? And you know, they'll face off tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Caden Primo gets his second start of the season. You have a quick thought on Cole Caufield here. The player who, by the way, many of us just handed the Calder Trophy to at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I voted for Spencer Knight. I'm not so sure I'm going to be right about that one either. But yeah, like again, I don't see it's a big. I don't see it as a big deal. He went down to the American Hockey League. I know that we'd like to jump to conclusions right now and label people bust pretty quick, but It happens sometimes. I don't think it's the end of the world. You know, as for that game last night, I guess Laval was down 5-1 and they scored late in the second.
Yes.
And some people were like, oh, like that. That's the one that gives you – it kind of reminds you of that one with Toronto and Ottawa last year when the Leafs were up big and Ottawa came back and won. There was a late goal at the end of the second and – all of a sudden you've got life and you're saying, maybe we can do this. You know, when it comes to Montreal, you know, I think the Canadiens are looking for a defenseman who can move the puck. I don't know how big a move this is going to be. It might just be for something a little bit smaller, but because I think you've hit on the right thing that they can't tamper with their first rounders. First of all, it could be a very high pick. And secondly, it's in Montreal next year. But I do think they're looking for a bit of a puck mover on the back end there.
You wrote that in 32 Thoughts this week at Sportsnet.ca. You know, I've been looking at Montreal, and to me, you know, the one question ringing out of this team is who wants Ben Chiarot and what are they going to pay for him? He's on an expiring contract. He's 30 years old. We all know what happens around trade deadline when it comes to defensemen and teams that are going into the playoffs and hoping to have a long run. You know, I was talking to someone on the weekend, and we were talking, you know, can you get a second-round pick? And
I think you're going to be able to do better for him. Here's
the nature of our conversation. Is there any chance you get a first?
Oh, for sure. I think there is.
For Ben Chiarot.
I think you absolutely could. Ben Chiarot's a good player. And
yes, I know he is.
Flush is going to have BX talking him up every show until he gets traded, right?
That's
like
a
BX,
good point.
You got to trade for Ben Chiarot. You got to trade for Ben Chiarot. Like, that's going to be BX for the next 3 months, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, look, like he's playoff tested. He's not like a high maintenance guy. You know, you're going to be able to plug him in and he'll do what you need him to do. And, you know, there's value in him. Like, if you go back at the – when Montreal signed him, like, there were a lot of teams, including Toronto, for example, was really interested in him. And, you know, it's just that they couldn't fit the price point, right? So there's – and plus, you know, Montreal could probably eat some of the money just to get through this year and make him more valuable. All it takes is one team that says we got to have this player – or two teams saying we both really want this player, and I think you absolutely can do that. And like, you know, for example, one of the teams I look at, and you know, you mentioned to me this morning that you were going to ask me about this, so I kind of did a cursory look around the league, and I was kind of like, you know, the team that really sticks out to me that should probably be feeling very good about itself and thinking about what it could do is a team like Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about them looking for help on their left side before, so there does seem to be a fit there. He does seem very much like a Western Canadian-type hockey player, Elliot.
And he's played there.
And he's played out west. He's played with the Winnipeg Jets. He scored – actually, I think Chiarot – I think he scored the – it was an exhibition game, but the first exhibition game in Winnipeg Jets 2.0 history, I think he scored the first goal. I think technically he's got the first one, but it was an exhibition.
Well, that's
game.
The kind of nerdy thing that you would remember.
Kept me single for a lot of years, Freach. Kept me single for a lot of years, bud. A couple of other notes in 32 Thoughts that I wanted to go over with you before we get to this Blue Jays press conference for people listening on 590, 960, and 650. You will get Thomas Rantz talking more about Vancouver in a couple of moments. You mentioned the next Amazon team.
That'll keep everybody listening.
That'll keep them. Hey, you got Tiny Drancer coming up. Here we go. The next Amazon team.
Yeah.
We saw the Maple Leafs go through it. Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of the New Jersey Devils, said on this program when I asked him about it that they would be interested as well. So there's another one. Widely believe that Montreal could be another team. I am curious. What is so attractive about this show to NHL teams? So I can see a lot of them saying no right away.
I think a few did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is attractive about it from an NHL team's point of view?
Well, I just think that, you know, like I think that you, some people look at it as an opportunity to show what you do, right? Mm-hmm. You know, look, like last year, Toronto was the best team in its division. They looked like they'd addressed a lot of their problems in the regular season before the playoff collapse, right? And yes, the payoff, if you actually do something, is enormous, because then everybody looks good. And also, if you look at the other teams that Amazon has done that with, like Manchester City, for example, if Amazon is coming to you and saying, we want to work with you, that's a big thing. That's a sign that Amazon wants to work with you. Mm-hmm. And it's not insignificant. And plus, I think there's some teams, like, I think that's pretty smart for Tom Fitzgerald to say. Like, I watch the Devils a bit here and there. Like, there's a bunch of teams this year I'm looking at and saying, you know, they're more interesting than I thought. You know, Anaheim is one. San Jose is one. LA is one. And New Jersey is certainly one. When Jack Hughes got hurt, we're all like, oh, my God, these guys, they're in big trouble. And they're hanging in there. And that Mercer kid in particular looks Austin like Mercer, a real player. Like, they're fun to watch. So if I was Tom Fitzgerald and we were on the upswing, I would absolutely – or we are in the New York market and we're battling for more attention, no, 100%, I would be on that. Like, I think there's a lot of teams in the NHL. Like, you know, like I'll tell you this. If I was Arizona, I would be all over that. You know, I just think the thing is, like, you have to understand the personalities of your people. Like, we talked about Jack Hughes, for example, right? And, like, I think Jack Hughes would embrace something like that. But oh, I think one of the things with – you have to understand, like – and you could tell in the Toronto thing, and we talked about this on the podcast, is that you have to understand when, like, those tough moments – are you hurting yourself by having those things on camera? And there's going to be moments of the year where that's just going to be unavoidable. But I that's the one thing, like, what is the personality of your group? Can they handle their hard moments being on camera? And not everybody can handle that.
I'll go you one better. Don't make it of the New Jersey Devils. Just have a camera follow Jack Hughes around all season long. You don't think it's a TV show there?
Yeah.
He's
the kind of guy who would embrace it. Yeah.
A couple more things. Tuukka Rask, is it Boston Bruins or bust for Tuukka?
I mean, that name's
been
Boston
floated out there. Because you mentioned, you know, Edmonton with Sherrod a couple of seconds ago. And I look at Tuukka Rask and I wonder about Edmonton as well.
I don't think it's Boston or bust. At least that's not the information that I've heard. I've just heard that the Bruins remain his number one priority. Now, mm-hmm. you know, we'll see what happens, but that's what I've heard.
Also, you brought up a really good point about Connor McDavid drawing penalties and the line we should draw between allowing your stars to shine and attendance. Mm-hmm. Can you flesh that out a little bit here for our listening
sure.
audience?
Well, there's no question that attendance is down in some places. And this is not just a hockey issue. I was reading an article about it at the NBA. I was reading an article about it even in the NFL. And I don't think we really understand the full reasons for this yet. You know, I don't simply think it's because people don't want to come back to sporting events. I think that might be part of it, that some people are not comfortable in crowds. I think that, you know, I think there's a whole sort of issues. Like, some people don't like mask mandates at games. Some people aren't vaccinated, and buildings aren't letting them in. You know, there are people who are fans of all sorts of sports who unfortunately died during the pandemic. Like, all of this stuff is a factor. But one of the things is it's expensive to go to games, and, you know, some people have said during this, am I really that interested in spending my money on this? So there are other a lot of people's, their priorities in life have changed. So in the middle of all that, I'm looking at this and saying, if I'm the NHL, I'm saying to myself, what do I have to do to make sure people feel like they can come back. They want to come back to games. Like, what is the, what can I make them say? All right, we want to be back in. And you look at that McDavid goal against the Rangers, for example.
Yeah.
The one thing I think that the NHL, like if you look at the NFL, and the NFL is the sporting juggernaut in North America. It's the number one watch thing. It's like if you look at the U.S. TV ratings, it's all NFL games. That's it's basically NFL almost top to bottom.
Yeah.
And what has the NFL done? They've said, we are going to protect our quarterbacks and we are going to make our games more offensive. And, you know, the one thing I would just say if I was the NHL and I wanted to be in front of this is we haven't always liked this way of thinking. And I don't want these games to become like soft. That's not what I'm interested in. But I do think that if we have to tell everybody that if you're coming to see a McDavid or a Crosby or a McKinnon or a Matthews or whoever you're coming to see, you know when you buy your ticket that there's going to be a chance you get them to see them at their best. Now, things could always happen. They could be injured. They could have a bad game. That's life. That occurs. But I would be asking internally, are we maximizing the chance that people have to buy a ticket and know that they could get their best out of the star player they're buying a ticket to see? And right now, I think the answer is no. And so if we're really concerned about where the attendance is, Jeff, we have to say we got to get that to a yes.
I think that's an excellent point. We're up against the clock. Going to give way to this Blue Jays press conference here on 590 in Toronto. Stick with us, everyone, on 960 and 650 in Vancouver and Calgary. We'll step away. Great job, Friedge. And check out Friedge's latest blog, 32 Thoughts, of course, available right now at sportsnet.ca. Thanks, Friedge Roux.
All right, chat tonight when we record the next podcast. See you later, bud.
Yeah, here we go. That's my work spouse, Elliot Friedman. We talk to each other more than our spouses. Sorry, Steph. Sorry, Claire.